Okay. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 13 of season 2 of Sour Grapes with Amy. I'm Amy and...
I'm Etta.
Shocking. It's a real twist.
I know.
This week. Lots going on this week. But before we get to all that, what are you drinking?
I'm Cab Gang tonight because... Well, I have a bottle of wine that I'm saving for a day when the basketball team plays and plays someone deserving of wine. And
actually plays, yeah.
Yeah. And the only other wine I had was white, and I just wasn't in a white wine mood, which is, honestly, I'm never in a white wine mood, so, yeah.
Maybe summer. Like, that is really...
In the summer, I'll drink a white wine, and I'll put frozen blueberries in it so it stays cold.
Yeah.
But doesn't get watered down. But anyway, what about you?
Red wine blend that I opened Friday night when we started watching Ted Lasso.
Yay!
And finishing it up tonight. Is this where I say that I am sorry that I doubted all the Ted Lasso hype?
So I have a question about that. Is it actually that you doubted the Ted Lasso hype, or is it that you are Amy and like a little bit contrary? And so the more people tell you you will love something, the more you're like dug in and do it on your own time.
So I am a contrarian.
A little bit of both.
That's very fair. And it's not even like I did not believe that Ted Lasso would be great. It really genuinely was an issue of, I want Todd to watch this with me. We never get our kids to sleep without us. And then we very often, like, even if we do get them to sleep, we're just both dead.
Yeah.
And on Friday night, I think we had just both had a week and the kids were... kind of fine, like,
were they
watching
fine,
their own thing? Well, we thought they were fine.
They were behaving.
Then we
they
discovered
were quiet.
Blue face.
They were quiet.
It's
not fine.
They were quiet. And Sam would come out like every half hour or so and like have something written on her cheek and have a half blue hand that she had colored completely. And then it was after 7 episodes that we found like
the
whole
Smurfette.
Blue man crew going down. But, long story short, I knew it was going to be good. We just had to find
the perfect
the right
time.
And, of course, it ended up being something that we did not plan. And we did not, like, make... It was just like, let's do it.
Yes.
And, yeah, I've told my parents to watch it. And I just said, I don't know how to say this without being overly dramatic, but... nothing in my life has ever made me feel like this. And I was like shaking and giddy as we were watching it many times. It was
so
just fantastic.
Perfect. And I constantly wonder if it would be as fantastic if we weren't watching it in the midst of all of this disaster of 2020. But I think it still would be. Like, I think it will hold up. I think it would have been just as great in 2019. We just maybe wouldn't have appreciated how great it is. And how pure it is. Because, like, pure without being sickeningly sweet. There's still that
and also,
reality to it.
Well, there's still, like, the language, which I fully get on board
like
with.
It's like real life.
Well, and I love that, like, there are a whole bunch of freaking potty mouths on the show with these great, pure, wonderful hearts. Like, I think about Keely, and I just think about how... she is this beautiful girl who should be a snit.
Yeah.
And she is just this affirming person who is encouraging other women and building other people up. And I'm like, this
I
is like
it.
Our ethos. This is what we want in the world, like kindness above everything. So, and it's just so good.
I don't know if you saw this discussion on Twitter this week. So after, I mean, since Friday, since you discovered Ted Lasso, there was this discussion of...
Can't believe no one told me about the show.
I know.
Like, so weird, guys.
Would Amy be a panda or a lion? And I believe the consensus was Amy would be a panda. Amy would choose panda.
Oh, God. Where did this happen?
I want to say it was Joe Goodman. Maybe. So I was like, does that make me a lion?
Well, you know what, though? I liked freaking Jamie Tartt's answer. Why would I want to be anything else?
Yeah. Well, that was the reply to me. Why would you want to be anything else?
Right.
And I was like, that's... It's, yeah, it's just
so psychologically healthy.
We're going to have to wrap this up so I can go watch Ted Lasso.
Again. I know. I'm going to start over. We finally finished it today, and I'm going to start over.
So
good. Oh, so good. Anyway, yeah. Y'all were right.
So if you are somehow listening and haven't watched Ted Lasso, watch Ted Lasso.
Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and freaking do it. Yeah. I know I'm like spreading the good word, like a little Mormon door-to-door.
I may or may not have slid into Jason Sudeikis' DMs this weekend to invite him on Sour Grapes. He won't come, but you know what? It was fun.
Is he a reply bot? Like, is he a like bot?
I have heard. Or is he a real person? That it was mentioned that if you tweet something along the lines of punch baby Yoda, he has an alert set up for that and he will come like it. And I can affirm that the tweets to me in reply that mentioned punch baby Yoda, Jason Sudeikis liked. So
interesting.
Yeah.
And then he also just likes everything that mentions Ted Lasso. So.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
This is probably the first time I've slid into someone's DMs who wasn't like, I didn't already have a relationship with and I was trying to like ask them a question.
Right.
I would say definitely. Yeah, I fell
asleep before you did that, before you went on that journey Friday night.
So.
And then I woke up in the morning on Saturday.
I think I did text you and say that, didn't I?
I was like, well, that's a journey. There we go. But anyway,
this is a sports podcast, so.
This is a sports podcast. Well, Ted Lasso is a.
That's true. Sports adjacent.
It's a sports show like Friday Night Lights is a sports show.
Still need to watch
that. You know, it's relational. So good also. Not on the level of Ted Lasso, though, I will say. So quick breakdown of our discussion plan this week. Lots of things happened in college football over the weekend, including late breaking news on Sunday night, which we will get into. Baylor sports sadness. There are a few different levels to that. And the idiocy of the week. The sour grapes of the week, yes. I guess.
Yeah.
There are a few different options here. So let's jump right into college football discussion. You want to start us off?
I can. So this week, all week long, until I think Thursday, the rumors started coming out, and then Friday it was confirmed. But Coastal Carolina was supposed to be playing Liberty, but Liberty had an emerging COVID outbreak that I think got publicized first thing Wednesday that like there had been a couple positives and they were waiting more tests. And so then this news started to filter out that BYU might be a last minute fill in for Liberty. And all of us were like, yes, we need this. Nobody wants to watch Liberty, but we want to watch Coastal Carolina and BYU. And it came to be.
Which is so weird because like Liberty and watching and Falwell, you know, there's a joke to be made there. Anyway, continue.
I am blush. I am like seven shades of red right now.
There's also like a Case gracious. McCoy joke to make in there. Yeah.
Wow. Alrighty then. So Coastal Carolina played BYU. And they won.
Like
in the last play, they stopped BYU at like the 1 yard line from scoring.
And it was a fiery game.
It was. They got chippy.
Yes.
I was describing this game to Amy as Gretchen Wilson in a fight with Carrie Underwood.
And Carrie is the nice.
Carrie is the Mormons, for sure.
The vanilla, because we can't have the chocolate because of the caffeine, right?
Right.
Or something.
So, okay. And the Chanticleers are the redneck woman.
They're winners, though.
They are.
Hot dang.
The mullets versus the Mormons.
Well, and so this also will presumably have impact on college football playoff rankings, although probably nothing that will actually impact the playoff.
Yeah.
But it's still fun. It's a fun way to, and again, why couldn't we just have random teams like the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers in the playoff spot? Why not?
We could, but this is a whole other rant for a whole other day, but it's the same idea that you need to have like a Ivy League education to be on the Supreme Court. So
I'm taking it that the game was not on the BYU channel. Have you ever watched the BYU channel?
No, I feel like there were a lot of jokes about the BYU channel back when like the Longhorn Network was starting. Or maybe the year that there was all the rumors of like, should South Florida join the Big 12 and BYU potentially join the Big 12, and how would that, you know, could they bring their own TV network? I just remember there being a lot of drama.
Oh, that's true too. But so like my experience was when Baylor basketball played at BYU in either 2011 or 2012, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the BYU TV channel. And every commercial was either about like buying gold or
like a survival like doomsday seed bank. Prepping.
Yes, yes. And I'm just like, y'all should be better prepared for a disaster event, like playing the Chanticleers. With all of the thought you've put into this.
I mean, I'm not going to judge because I, like, have some prepper tendencies of my own.
Oh, so does Todd.
I know. Ugh. Todd and I should compare notes about, like, iodine tablets and things, but, you know.
He started stockpiling salt.
Why?
Apparently that is going to be a currency in the future. I don't know.
I mean, I can't judge because my mom calls it my paranoia pile, but it's more like, you know, I just would like to be able to feed my family if there's some sort of a natural disaster or whatnot.
Yeah. I've never stopped nursing.
We've lived in some very remote towns, but I have like probably 50 cans of green chilies. Like, if it's the end of the world, I don't want to eat bland food. So I totally get the salt thing.
You know what? That's fair. It's way better, like, than those MRE packs that you can buy on Amazon in bulk or, like, from Costco.
Those are very gross.
Do you have a bug out bag?
I didn't hear the question.
Do you have a bug out bag?
I didn't hear the question.
Oh, we're not going to talk about the bug out bag. I should have known. That's the first rule of prepping.
Yeah.
Anyway, next one up here in our weekend of fun and delight.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. So Rice beat Marshall.
A battle of two and home Marshall field was, schools.
And they were undefeated, I think.
I think so.
So that's a big win for Rice.
Weren't they ranked? I feel like they were ranked like 22-ish. Yes,
they were. They
something.
Were like 17 or, yeah.
Somewhere toward the bottom.
17, 22, all the same.
25-64.
Our beloved, the good Zach Smith, the only Zach Smith we acknowledge.
Yes.
Has secured a spot in the Conference USA Championship next week.
Woo!
With a win against Navy. And they play Cincinnati next week, which is also ranked,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, I believe that's true.
And of course, none of it really means anything this year because it's 2020. But it's still cool and good to see them having success because they had some rough outings up there in Tulsa in the early days of the Philip Montgomery tenure, I feel.
They did. I also, it could just be that it's 2020, but it feels like Phil Montgomery's been at Tulsa for about 20 years.
He got out of Baylor, like, at the right time.
He did. He hit.
Essentially.
He left. Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
And he also took Norwood with him, but I think Norwood is somewhere else now. But I like Norwood. Yeah. Brian Norwood. He's a good guy. So last night pretty much secured that the Big 12 championship game will be in 2 weeks between OU and ISU.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's for sure ISU, right? It's just...
OU clinched it last night when they beat us.
Did they? Okay. I didn't know if there was some weird, like, voodoo science way that it ends up not being OU.
No, I think they are in, ISU is in, and... we will see what happens.
Yeah.
And then we play Oklahoma State next weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, but Texas had a big...
If we tie and Crystal Palace wins by six or something.
Right. Then we don't get relegated.
Right. Are we going to get relegated?
We're not going to get relegated.
That's good.
But, like, Kansas still may not get to play Texas. And that was their one chance for a win this year. Because now Texas is having a COVID issue.
But Kansas covered this week.
Oh, who'd they play?
Tech?
I don't know. Maybe. Yes. Did they? And it was very, very close. Like, it was not a one possession game,
it was.
I think.
Yeah. Like, I think it might have been like a field goal even.
And also, they beat Texas Tech last year, too. So there were big 2019 energy vibes.
Yeah.
And then the other Kansas team, Kansas State, got their butt kicked by Texas, which makes you feel a little bit less optimistic about Baylor's showing last week. Does it? Does it make you feel less optimistic?
I honestly feel like this year, like week to week, nothing means anything.
That's true.
Every week is a totally different team.
Texas had guys, well, that wouldn't really help Kansas State, but like, I don't know. I don't know how it impacts Texas to have guys opting out. Like, does that fire them up or, I don't know.
Well, I wonder, we'll go down that path in a few minutes, I guess. We might need to go down this path.
Now?
Do we want to do the Texas path now or do we want to save it?
You know, I think that my intent was for us to discuss it in this segment because we don't really have. Yeah. So what happened tonight, Etta? What happened like right before we got on to record?
Apparently, Urban Meyer said, it's not me, it's you, basically.
It's definitely you, Texas.
It's definitely you. But he was much more diplomatic about it. I don't know what that noise was.
My phone played some things.
He was very diplomatic about it, and I bet you would never guess this.
Urban was diplomatic about it. Yeah.
But Urban Meyer blamed it on his health. He's never said that before. He has never used his health as an excuse to not do something before.
I think that anyone with half a brain and a legacy to protect has looked at how things have gone down in Texas, in Austin, for the Longhorn program for the past 10 years, and they've said, you know what? They're being the smart ones. Yeah. They are not being Dabo or Rudy Giuliani. They are not going to go put themselves in a situation that diminishes their legacy. They're just like, nope. Nothing to win, really.
Yeah.
Everything to lose.
Yeah.
And you hate to see it for those poor Longhorns. Those disadvantaged, humble, you know, just want to have fun and develop good men Longhorns.
Imagine what it must feel like to be a Longhorn fan and know that you got rid of a coach who had success at your program and you fired him and now he's somewhere else building up a program and having success. I love to see it, honestly.
I love to see it too. And I also wonder, like, if maybe the Longhorns need to have like a training room sacrifice fire to like cleanse the place of like the
burn some sage. Mac
Brown. I feel like Mac Brown cursed that place on the way out the door. Because like, no one has succeeded like him, and he has gone on to find success elsewhere.
Who would curse a place on the way out, though?
No, I think it's more like
I feel like it's bad karma.
The universe
that they fired him, and he was a good person, and then they fired Charlie Strong, who was a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And now they just have all this bad karma. But I also think that like.
I think Charlie Strong didn't succeed because they fired Mac Brown on the precipice of winning a Big 12 championship in 2013. And so, like, everyone has been doomed to fail after that until they atone for their evil deeds.
What is the atonement?
Maybe they make Bevo steaks. Maybe they...
Bevo steak would be so tough and gross, though.
I know. And I also wouldn't, like, wish that on poor Bevo. No. Bevo didn't do anything to earn that.
Do you think that their penance will be groveling for A&M to come back to a Thanksgiving week game with them?
Oh, God.
I would love to see it, personally, but... I don't think it'll ever happen.
I'd love to see it, but they're both insufferable.
They're both so pig-headed.
Like, I don't know. Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they won't. I kind of hope they don't. It's fun.
If they had my mom would have made them hug on the front porch until they could get along again.
What about, like, those shirts that are huge?
I mean, that's essentially...
And you make the kids put those on.
That's essentially what she did to us, but she would make us go stand on the front porch and hug until we realized how ridiculous our behavior was and we would just start laughing.
Right.
So.
I don't want anything so wholesome for the Longhorns, though. Yeah, like, I want, like, real suffering, which I feel
Longhorn
is what they've
in
had.
My pop-up in my sidebar right now.
Oh, I don't like this. To you. My sister-in-law sent me, like, a diaper bag fanny pack thing that she wants to buy. And then I started seeing them on Instagram. It's creepy.
I was researching stoves earlier, and now I'm getting ads for those stoves.
And now they're all over the place. So. Yeah. Time to go off the grid.
It's true. Catalogs only.
Do we talk about Baylor sports sadness?
I think we have to. The week started well.
The Illinois win, which I didn't stay up to watch.
I stayed up to watch
it. I'm the worst.
It was great. Mm. It was so much fun. Partly because it's fun to see coaches that you're familiar with coaching against you again. And so it was nice to see Brad Underwood because he was previously at SFA and Oklahoma State. And now he's at Illinois. So it's nice to see him again. Nice to beat him again. Nice to see Coach Drew back. Back on the sideline. Although it was a little weird to see him not in a suit.
Oh, what was he wearing?
He was wearing a polo shirt. I mean, they all were wearing polo shirts.
Oh, very casual.
But it was very casual. And I was like, wait, where's the coaching staff? Where are they?
I saw, like, this will be the second podcast in a row where I mentioned Aditya, but, like, he looked like he's been working out in the offseason. I was like, dang.
I know. I was looking at him and going, somebody spent the pandemic lifting weights.
Well. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, sorry. And also, Megan, sorry we are not creeping on your husband. It was just not noticeable. Anyway. Yeah, so I woke up at like 6 the next morning to watch the game, and I really wanted to not check Twitter and know the outcome beforehand, but I have no self-control. No, I have no self-control. Okay. Like,
I was going to go to bed early and I stayed up to watch the game. So at least you went to bed.
It's true. But I had to like put my phone down and be like, do not pick this up.
Yeah.
But 12 hours or like 10 hours was too much because the first thing when I woke up. And of course, like it was right there in my Twitter feed because of the algorithm.
Yes.
Weirdness. But that was the peak of Baylor sports.
Yes, we peaked early this week. And it seemed like the rest of the week was going well.
Yep.
And then Saturday morning, probably about 10 Texas time, because I think it was about 9.
No, it was
here. Was it earlier than that?
Well, no, it was like an hour before the game that I got your message. I feel
like it was like 2 hours before the game. Because it was a while before you replied to me. So, So, about 2 hours before tip-off, we got news that the game was delayed or canceled. Hopefully, they would like to reschedule.
Oh, no. It was 10:52 a.m. that you messaged me.
Was it?
So, like, an hour before the game.
So, 9:52.
An hour and 10 minutes.
Ugh. Yeah. So, but I will say one thing I was super impressed with. Was the joint statement released by the two head coaches. It was fantastic. So thoughtful and well-crafted and classy. And just a great way to handle an awkward situation.
Well, and I think that like most sentient beings realize that both teams wanted to play this game. There was really nothing to lose. Absolutely. As either the one or two ranked team. Like, this is resume boosting. So, like, Gonzaga was not scared to play us. Baylor was not scared to play Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And also, like, it isn't some great, you know, COVID hoax by the state of Indiana to, like, be doing the best that they can under their circumstances and being like, we're not going to make a super spreader event. We're not going to do this.
Yeah.
That is just what you get when you don't have a centralized plan and when you don't have a uniform plan among all conferences and among all states and that sort of thing. And Indiana like has two good football teams too. And they don't need something spreading like wildfire even more so than it may already be.
I keep thinking about this, and I mean, maybe this is just me being like, what the hell, y'all? Of all of the sports that have had seasons thus far, basketball has had the most time to make a plan. And I honestly don't understand why there can't be some sort of a bubble. I'm sure it comes down to money, one, but it can't be academics, because every school has some sort of an online option right now. I mean, my class was offered technically in person, but in person meant you could go to a classroom if you wanted to and watch it on a screen. The professor was live casting it from his office. So, if there's any year in which a hygienic bubble could work for athletics, it's and still allow the players to be student athletes, this is the year. So,
yeah, Brett Alex, I think his last name is Alexander, but Brett Alex on Twitter, he saw me tweet this morning about like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but games getting canceled is because we don't have a uniform plan. It's not like a vast conspiracy. And he said that Scott Van Pelt had kind of made that statement on his show last week. And just kind of, it was an indictment upon college basketball that they've had the longest time to put something together. Everyone else has gone before and come up with a good plan. And like, it's our fault. It's basketball's fault for not doing that. Which I agree with. I think though that you can't compare professional teams to college teams because there's the whole student athlete amateur status. And it's just like, it's on the podcast that I was listening to this morning, they were also discussing about, they were discussing the possibility of Gonzaga and Baylor scheduling like a game over Christmas break.
Yeah.
And they said it would mean Baylor players can't go home for Christmas, Gonzaga players can't go home for Christmas. But then they were also like, you know, you don't really want your players going home for Christmas because that could potentially create havoc.
So I'm looking
for a month.
I'm looking at our schedule right now. So
we have a game the 21st and the 29th.
I think Gonzaga is quarantined until the 14th. Mm. We have a gap from the 13th to the 19th, and then a gap from the 21st to the 29th. I believe those are our two biggest gaps for the rest of the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they're going to fit it in, it might be in those gaps, or it might be a sort of a situation where
the end of the season.
Yeah. Or where they do
I think from a keeping it as close to a bubble as possibly you can perspective, you try to do it between that 21 and 29 window in December.
Yeah.
But you also have to figure out, and this is what the podcast was talking about, you have to figure out TV slots, you have to figure out where it's going to happen, how you get TV crews, how you get rough crews, how you, like, there's just so much logistics stuff that goes into this.
I think
after, but we're also after seeing miracles this season.
I never want to hear again about how we can't get a game scheduled. Never again. Do you remember back in like 2013 where we were like, well, we can't schedule anybody non-con who's good because everybody's schedules are booked years out. I'm sorry. After 2020, bullshit. Nobody has like, any excuse. We're inventive.
Humans can do this.
Yeah.
If they want to.
Yeah. That's the thing. You got to have the desire. It's all a matter of leverage,
but, you know,
to quote Pirates of the Caribbean.
Never seen it. I am truly the worst.
Okay, wait. Have you seen The Princess Bride?
No.
Amy?
I have seen The Hug a bunch. Like a million times as a child. Dallas
and tying you to a chair to make you watch this.
I know I need to watch that one. I also watched Polly, which was like a black version of Pollyanna with Felicia Rashad and Keisha Knight Pullman. Like I watched that a million times growing up. It was so good. And then also Willow. Like those were my three staples.
Willow is pretty fantastic.
From like 4 to 9. Anyway. So anyway, yesterday was disappointing. It was going to be my first opportunity to watch live a Baylor game. Everyone in the Padgett house was excited about it. We had kind of planned our morning around it. We were at the park when I got your text message. And then it was like, oh, well, okay. I guess I'll just turn my hopeful eyes to Baylor in Norman. How'd that go for me, Etta? How'd that go for us, Etta?
Oh, it was super great. We were already in the low, so it didn't feel as bad.
If only we got points for how well the defense played. Like fantasy football, when you get points for like a really good defense.
I can't come up with any comments right now that are G-rated. So I'm just going to be quiet.
Are we G-rated?
We have an E probably. So I love our D. Not going to lie.
We love that big stiff D.
We do.
Yeah.
Even though it can't last for a whole game.
We do not have any priapism problems.
Nope.
Anyway, although, I mean, they went for the duration, I feel. For a very long time, they held up.
This is true.
Christian Morgan had a phenomenal outing.
Yes.
Jalen Petrie was phenomenal.
I mean, I've already planned my next tattoo as a little pterodactyl on my arm, so...
Today,
I'm only when we like, watched the... I'm only, like, two-thirds joking. I would totally get a pterodactyl tattoo.
Well, it's cool on, like, multiple levels, you know, so that works. When we watched the finale of Ted Lasso today, and they were doing the Roy Kent, he's there, he's here, he's there, he's every effing where, I was like, that's Jalen Petrie.
Totally.
I would do a Jalen Petrie chant.
Absolutely.
Maybe next
year. Next year. We're going to be yelling that. Sorry. To any Jalen very Baptist Petrie. People around us.
I just have to make it work because, you know, it's like one syllable names versus Jalen Petrie.
If you have a one syllable nickname, let us know.
JP. JP. Whatever. Mm. Anyway, it doesn't work. Yeah.
We'll make it work. We'll workshop it.
So, I mean, it's just, as I said last night, the frustration about the game is not that we got our butts kicked, because we didn't. And I think that if we're being honest with ourselves, a whole lot of Baylor fans were kind of like mentally preparing for that scenario. And then it was like 3-0 after the first quarter. And you start getting a little bit of hope, and it's the hope that kills you. And the offense just was incapable of doing anything, it felt.
This is true. It was frustrating on so many levels in a way. But I'm trying to describe it because it was like, you know, back in the dark ages. The ages in which we were brought up in Baylor football. You get behind by 10 and you know you're not going to make it up. That is an insurmountable lead. That, it didn't ever feel like that, which I feel like is almost worse. Because
it's the hope that kills you.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't that... things were so out of reach, and so we were hopeless. It was that we just couldn't get our shit together. And that, it's the hope that kills you.
And I know that there is such a wide spectrum of opinions about why our offense kind of sucks. It goes from Charlie Brewer to the offensive line to play calling to no running game because we've essentially got like walk-ons playing starting running back at this point, which is, you know, fair. Yeah. It makes it all one-dimensional. And but I think for me the disappointing aspect is you felt some confidence after last week's outing, and you felt like maybe something had gotten figured out, even if it wasn't necessarily like the coached offensive scheme. If it was just like Charlie Brewer taking over the game, you were like, okay, he doesn't want to lose, this is what he's gonna do.
It's the one to read and let him go,
right?
Well,
and it never rolled last night.
There was, other than our wonderful D, our prolific D, there was a silver lining in our...
Hit me with it.
In our quest to be a spoiler, right?
Oh, yeah. Fewer than 28 points. Yeah.
So we snapped OU's 60-game streak of scoring 28 or more points. Which, you know, if we're not going to win, at least we took something from them. You know, only a flesh wound, but still.
We imposed our D.
We did. With consent.
Alas. You know there are jokes being made out there.
Oh, I know. I Googled.
We won't acknowledge those. Oh, God.
I do it every week.
So anyway, disappointing. You know, I think I actually feel more hopeless than if we had gotten just like our butts kicked, because what we saw last night is we have this phenomenal defense.
You mean we hired someone who is a defensive genius to be our coach?
And right.
We have an amazing defense now? I am shocked.
I know. And that was the kind of question going into the season. And then all we heard in the months leading up to the season was how prolific our offense was going to be. And we are either...
But, like, I feel like in hindsight, why were we thinking that? It's not like we had this...
Because returning starter, who's played 4 years, seniored, weathered... wide receivers, an offensive line that, while maybe not prolific, is at least capable because they've been there for a while. I just running feel backs like, who are talented.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they keep getting injured.
Yeah.
And I just, it's that whole Thumper's mom thing is like slapping its hand over my mouth.
Right.
Experience doesn't necessarily beget success.
Well, an experience definitely doesn't beget success if you have people who are married to a scheme without regard to personnel. Like, if your whole thing is that this scheme will work in 2 to 3 years when we get our players in there... Like, you're not a good coach if you're not adapting to the moment. And that was kind of what I saw last week. Like, there were some people who were speculating online about, you know, Fedora has this offense that he wants to run. And what Rule brought in is not conducive to that offense. So essentially what we saw last week in the second half was... an abandonment of Fedora's scheme in order to get the win. And him just being like, okay, well, we're going to do what works right now. And we're going to kind of blah, blah, blah. And you just have to be able to adapt right now. And I don't know. I don't know that there's any other time to do it than when your defense is playing lights out in Norman against one of the top teams in the country. And you just don't do it. You don't change anything.
Here's an important question. Is Baylor's defense third person or first person? Amy just gave me like the mom look glare.
I'm just going to sit here and let you go with this one. Not weighing in. Not going to say anything mean about anyone.
I just went off script and I got glared at by mom.
No, you didn't get glared at. I'm just saying I can't speak on this.
It's okay.
It's not like I'm an English major or something.
I know. That's exactly why I asked you.
Yeah. Nope. Not going there. Not going there. Not going there. Not going to be a snowflake liberal hater. Who has her Twitter echo chamber. Anyway. Do we move on to the stupidity?
Let's do it.
The sour grapes of the week.
I love it. Love me some stupidity.
Which one do you want to talk about first? Which one?
Let's just go in order. This is a good order.
Okay. Did you see the first one happen in real time?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Then you okay. Intro this one.
So this week, Kirk Herbstreit... I don't know if he got his panties in a twist or if he just said something and it made everybody else get theirs in a twist. But basically, he said that teams are using COVID as an excuse to get rid of games that they're scared to play. Basically, they don't want the smoke, so they are using COVID as a Urban Meyer get-out-of-jail-free card.
And do we think that Kirk's source is a guy who goes by the name Rob O. Spinney?
It might rhyme with
like,
that.
Like, who do you think Kirk is speaking to?
Well, here's the thing. Kirk Herbstreit is a well-known
Ohio State
sports person.
Right.
Who has two sons who play for Rob O. Spinney. So, the fact that he might have a vested interest in this opinion... and have his own echo chamber that he is involved in is a non-zero situation.
He got clowned hard for this.
Oh, he deserved it. Absolutely.
He did. And I think he came out and issued an apology for this.
Oh, I hadn't seen that, so that's good. I actually genuinely like him. And so my question... But this was definitely a misstep on his part, so...
I feel like I've hated him since, like, watching the 2011 last game of the season for Baylor... which was preceded by the last game of the season for Houston, where Case Keenum was playing.
Oh my gosh.
And Kirk was talking about... That was like
500 years ago.
Nine. But yeah, close enough. Yeah. 509, who knows. He was talking about how... like, there's no way RG3 is going to win a Heisman against Texas. Like, that game isn't going to happen. And I was just like, you know what? Don't like ya. You angry little man, kiss my butt. And then he's done some really stupid stuff since.
He has.
And my whole thing is just, do people like Kirk Herbstreit, really any national commentator, analyst, do they not have some responsibility to temper their reactions and frustrations this year, in the COVID year? Because of the microphone that they have.
I think that if you have a platform, be it national or regional or local, you have a responsibility to be thoughtful and considerate in your response to any situation and to evaluate how it will impact those that you report upon, that... the subject matter you're reporting upon influences and impacts. And if you don't think that you need to be thoughtful, maybe you should be in a different career. Maybe you should reevaluate whether or not you're doing journalism and realize that what you're doing is tabloid fodder, gossip. Yeah. If you can't be thoughtful and considerate in what you're doing. Maybe you're the Perez Hilton of sports.
I mean, I just, like, I think...
Although Perez Hilton will issue apologies from time to time, so maybe you're worse than Perez. Well,
I mean, I guess Kirk is in good company. Allegedly, he apologized. But I think that just the lines between... personality and analyst have become so blurred in this age of like social media, and like when Kirk tweets something out, is he doing it as a journalist with no interest in the outcome? Is he doing it as someone who is reporting facts, or is he doing it as someone who is acting as a mouthpiece to inflame the masses. And that's, I mean, like, that is a line that, like, honestly, anyone with more than, like, 100 followers on social media has to walk. Like, I'm not in a, in an official role in any capacity at all anymore, but I feel like I've had relationships with families and Baylor athletes, and I'm not going to say things that are overtly critical of them online.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's that whole, like, is this a personal dig or is it a playing dig? And also they're just kids who are playing a sport, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I just think that Kirk has an exponentially larger reach than a lot of people. And when you throw out things that are just like conspiracy theory, you are not doing anything to move the conversation forward. You are stagnating us in our hysteria and in our division, and it's just not helpful. And maybe your job as a journalist is not to be helpful, but I do think it is to not be biased, and a lot of people are failing in that this year.
Yeah.
They're just getting too frustrated.
So I think that one of the most beneficial things in my life has been that when I was a part of BIC way back in the day, one of our course requirements was taking a course in rhetoric and understanding the ways in which things are written and spoken and communicated influence how people receive them and how people interpret them. And there are ways to communicate things that are stating facts, and there are ways to communicate things that are stating facts but influencing response. And it's important to be able to distinguish the two.
Yeah.
And this week, there was a really good article that came out that I will find it and share the link on my page or on my profile, but it was basically like,
on your MySpace page?
On my MySpace page. Check to see if you're one of my top friends. Wow, I feel old right now. It's on my Zanga, actually.
Oh, I loved Zanga.
Same.
Anyway.
Yep. But it was an article about, like,
here we go,
why Trey Wingo is no longer at ESPN. And the whole situation over maybe the last decade where it was a influx of sports journalists to ESPN and now an outflux of those same people. It was just really interesting, especially if you're someone who pays attention to news media and somebody who pays attention to sports news media. It was a really interesting read, but just a lot of impact in terms of these people were raised as journalists and write and report in that way versus these people came up in video media and news media and how that, just the difference between the two. I thought it was really interesting. 'Cause, I mean, I'm a person who fell in love with sports both by watching them, but also I read sports journalism voraciously as a kid. So anyway, that was sort of a mind jog, but
I mean, it goes back to the same point that, like, we are in an era where news people, and especially, like, sports news people, are both, like, a personality.
Yes.
With individual thoughts and feelings about a variety of issues. And then they are also, like, a guy who is commentating on a game and supposed to be providing objective analysis.
Color commentary. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, like, not, yeah.
Yeah. I will say that. Yeah,
it's just. It's,
I feel like one of the best decisions I've made in my life as an adult is that I don't watch the news. I don't watch sports news. I don't watch normal news. I read. Yeah. I read my news. Maybe that makes me old. I sit at the table with my kids in the morning and I read, quote unquote, the paper from a myriad of sources. Not just the paper of record. I read other papers as well. So, yeah.
I just listen to a lot of different podcasts.
Yeah.
But whatever. So there's an interesting spat going on right now between the ACC and the SEC as we go into the final, like, regular weekend of the season and before championship Saturday. ACC and Rabo Spinney, you know, have been very angry about COVID cancellations and blah, 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 blah. And I think that they have decided, or this week the ACC commissioner came out and said that neither of its two top teams are going to play this coming weekend. Because I think that...
So Notre Dame and Clemson.
Notre Dame was supposed to play against Wake Forest. Okay. Yes. So it's Notre Dame and Clemson are the top two teams. Notre Dame was supposed to play this weekend against Wake Forest, and then FSU and Clemson were still trying to maybe do a makeup game.
Okay.
But then it would be like either, like there was the possibility that Notre Dame would be playing a game and Clemson would have the weekend off. And then so like Clemson would be more fresh. So the ACC guy came out and was just like, nobody's going to play this Saturday.
Everybody gets a rest.
Both teams are going to have the weekend off. Everyone gets a weekend off.
I mean,
so they are only playing 9 conference games instead of 10.
It's not like Florida State needs that other game to go 1-7.
Right. And it's also not like Wake Forest is going to...
Well, they would have been 3-4. Now they're only 3-3.
Change their trajectory of anything. Right. So the SEC guy is big mad because his teams are going to play their 10 conference games. And then Alabama and Florida are still going to play.
Pardon me, in the SEC championship game. While my eyes stop rolling.
Right. Well, so I was listening today to, I forget which podcast it was, but they were discussing this. And their whole point was like, in a normal year, the SEC schedules a cupcake game in November and plays 4 non-conference games. And this is like the first year when they're actually going to play 10 conference games and not have a cupcake in November.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rich on their part to get pissy about this. And of course, it all comes down to, oh man, could Clemson and Notre Dame both get into the college football playoff and maybe only one SEC team does? Or
good. I'm sick of seeing SEC teams. And I say that as a fan of an SEC team. I'm sick of seeing SEC teams. Let's see somebody else. Let's keep out 2 ACC teams and have somebody else.
Except that the somebody else is going to be freaking Ohio State. Ugh. Like,
ugh. I'm really sick of Buckeye guy as well. So
unless Ohio State doesn't get to play against Michigan this week. In which case, they can't be in the conference championship game for the Big Ten because they haven't played enough conference games.
I'm okay with this.
And so then we guess Indy. We are Team Chaos. We have said this from the very beginning.
We're still hoping but that Home Field will make a Team Chaos shirt. And so far, they haven't listened to us. But, you know, I'll send them more fan art. Maybe they'll listen to me this time.
Maybe they
There's
will.
No Chaos team that they have to get a... license from, so
you know, it's the hope that kills you, though. I'm gonna use that quote like always.
I say it so often.
I feel like I said it even before I watched Ted Lasso, but
shouldn't say it because the header at my Twitter profile says hope will never be silent. But also, it's the hope that kills you, so.
I mean, my favorite Barack Obama quote is, there's never been anything false about hope. So this is very antithetical to my, like, operating.
I like to say I'm not an optimist here. Or a pessimist. I'm a realist.
Yeah. Anyway, the realist in me says, I hope that we get some petty fireworks over the next, like, 10 days.
I want so much petty. That... Like, I'm going to screenshot all of the petty that I find. So much petty.
What if, I mean, like, ideally, the ideal scenario would not be Michigan and Ohio State not being able to play, but it would be Michigan pulling off the win of, like, a decade.
Oh, but that's not going to happen.
I can hope. I know it's going to kill me, but I can hope.
It's not going to happen. Mr. Milk Drinker in his khakis is going to screw the pooch somehow.
But you know what, though? Like, maybe this is his win and he gets to go out on a high note.
I think it's more likely that we get hit by sweet meteor of death.
Maybe that'll happen, too. Who knows?
One can only hope.
I mean, it's a really weird, really weird year when I'm rooting for that. But so I believe that Baylor and Texas play basketball next Sunday.
They do. Indeed.
I don't have a tip-off time yet.
Yeah.
But hopefully, when we are recording, we are doing so after a victorious outing.
Before then, we're playing Nichols State.
Do I know where Nichols State is? Do I know?
Can you guess the state?
I didn't know Nichols was a state.
Can you guess the state?
It's Nichols,
that
right?
State is in. If gun to your head, you have to choose.
Missouri.
No.
Arkansas.
Getting closer.
Mississippi. Louisiana. Yes. Okay. Geography is not my forte.
I think it is. Damn, I might be wrong. Let me check.
Doodle-doodle-doodle-doo. Anyway, we hope that next year, next week, we are coming to you on the heels of...
They are in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Were you right?
Okay.
I was really nervous there for a second. I have a child named Landry, and he keeps asking if we can move to Louisiana because his friends at school keep calling him Laundry.
Oh.
It's like, if I lived in Louisiana, nobody would make fun of my name.
It'd be fine. No one would laugh at me.
I feel so bad.
They're children. They'd find other reasons
to laugh.
Oh, I told him
that. I told him, kids are going to be mean for something. At least you have something easy like your name.
Right. Well, I was Graham, so I got called Graham Cracker all the time growing up, and I hated it. And now I'm like, why did I hate that? Like, it's a fun thing.
I will tell you off air what I was mocked for.
Well, you're named after a cow, so...
That too, but honestly, people didn't really make fun of that, so...
Do you think they weren't smart enough to make that connection?
That is a possibility. It's a breed of cow, okay. If we're, like, for full disclosure to everyone.
Is it the dairy cow?
It is a dairy cow, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look at you!
Are we ready to end this episode?
I feel like we are. Have we covered everything?
I think we have.
We're playing next week versus
Oklahoma State. Yep.
I feel like
at home.
I don't know if we can win. Stillwater's a weird place. But it's still
No, it's at home. It's at home. It's in Waco.
Is it?
And
then
also
why did we have
senior night
last week?
Because it was the last like regular season. Because the Oklahoma State game was supposed to be homecoming.
Yes.
And it got rescheduled, right?
God, this year has me messed
up.
And
then I've also heard, like, I think Fank has speculated that Oklahoma State might have some guys, like, opt out before the game because they've really got nothing left to play for or blah, 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 blah.
Maybe some of the guys from this
summer.
So
we could do it. They're not particularly good this year. And if we could just, like, find a competent offense for that one game. It's a big
ask. I'm not holding my breath.
Oh, no.
So.
No. But we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Well,
I think I'm ready for this season to be over, honestly, so it's good.
I don't know that I am. Am I? I don't know.
I'm ready to just be a basketball fan.
Yes.
I think.
Same.
Okay.
Can move my sport
that is
fandom to the next season, which is what I do this time right, every year, right, so right. It's fine.
Just turn the page. Also, did the Lady Bears end up losing tonight?
You know what?
We were watching Noelle.
Don't know. Let me check.
Which is a delightful movie. Two thumbs up.
Yes.
Disney
Noelle is fun. And to be completely clear, Baylor did lose tonight to the Arkansas Razorbacks. 78-83. Yes, they did. And Noelle is completely factual in that everything in Phoenix is named after a cactus or a desert. So they got that right.
It's good info.
Yeah.
Okay. Until next time, sour grapes, people. Yeah.
Y'all stay safe.
Sick'em bears. Don't catch the Rona.
Yeah.
Wear your mask.
Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Stay home.